This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Last week, we heard from the Development Bank of Southern Africa's Chief Investment Officer, Paul Curry, about just how hard the government is now working to stimulate innovation and competitiveness in the country through venture capital by working in partnership with the private sector and not crowding it out, which is a welcome approach. And it's epitomized by the work of the SA SME Fund, which together with the Department of Science and Technology's Technology Innovation Agency, the TIA, recently revealed that they're going to invest 236 million Rand together in two new funds, an 83.5 million Rand fund in biotech and just over 152 million in a university tech fund. Now, Ketso Gordon was the campaign manager for the Mandela election. He's developed his career in private equity. He was CEO of PPC and is now the CEO of the SA SME Fund. Evening, Ketso. Refreshing to see so much action and execution as opposed to more conferences and talk shops about the topic. Hope you're well.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity. I think absolutely right. You know, I think we've done enough talking, and in general, I think we all have a sense of what is important and what needs to get done. And so the SME Fund has prioritized seeding and getting off the ground a number of first-time funds that are trying to do new and innovative things. And the two that you mentioned are quite good examples, because the one, which is the University Technology Fund, is trying to do something most of the rest of the world already does really well, which is commercialize the IP coming out of our universities. And we are doing it in partnership with the universities and TIA, the Technology Innovation Agency of the government. And we hope that we are able over the coming year to crowd in a number of other private and public investors into this fund. The second one is something which I think is quite an important change in the way venture capital is emerging in the rest of the world. 10 or 15 years ago, it was all about tech. Then it became a mixture of tech and other things. And today, probably one of the biggest recipients of venture capital money in the world is biotech. And so we've together with TIA, put together a first-time small biotech fund that can get the ball rolling. Although these funds are small, we see them as catalytic and setting an example for other investors to support these kinds of initiatives in the near future.
And you mentioned the word catalytic. Often when we zoom out and we say, how have successful countries catalyzed innovation, catalyzed that spark of ingenuity and creativity and the inventiveness that resides in its people to create new products and services and hopefully develop those into new industries? Very often we find the government at the center of that. In the US, for example, the bastion of free market capitalism, there's a lot of US government money behind Silicon Valley. In South Africa, though, we tend to view the government with suspicion, and I think rightly so if you look at some of the track record. How do we break that particular perception, and what role do you see the South African government playing in the entire ecosystem, Ketso?
I mean, your first point, Michael, I think is the one to home in on, which is that all successful innovative nations have had their governments playing a catalytic role. So wherever you look at it, you know, government has put out the first money, taken the first loss, or leveraged private sector money by capping the returns that it required on its money. So we've seen various models, but the essential point is government willing to put up money either as a first loss or taking a lower return than the private sector. South Africa, unfortunately, we have not seen that yet. And, you know, one of the things I hope that the SME Fund can show by leading by example is that here's the private sector doing many of the things a government department should be doing. And it offers a perfect opportunity for government to create a public-private partnership leveraging what the SME Fund is already doing. You know, in the coming months, I hope that we can interact with government and persuade them that we are a relatively experienced partner, and we might not be the only one, but we could be one amongst many that they choose to work with to get the innovation system, you know, moving a lot more swiftly than it is.
Talk to me about the model then, Ketso, and I know you spend a lot of time with the CDC, which is almost a development finance, private equity and VC fund out of the UK. Do you see the SA SME fund playing a similar role, where it's almost like the limited partner going, as you have, and investing in an almost funds of funds approach, and a lot of knowledge sharing and everything that goes along with it? Just talk to me about how you see the model unfolding.
So the model is exactly as you describe it. We are a fund of funds. In the venture capital space, by the end of this year, we would have done 7 funds, 2 existing funds that we are deepening, and 5 new first-time funds. Now, for any ecosystem in the VC space to the size of our country to begin to have any measurable impact, we probably need about 30 or 40 funds. So the ideal model would be the SME fund raises money, government gears up that money, and we do another 10. But at the same time, create maybe a competitor to the SME fund who can do another 5. And over a 5 to 7 year period, we can probably get to an optimal number of venture capital funds to service the size of market that we have.
And it also means we need to calibrate our expectations, doesn't it, Kit? So, because like any other investor, the state won't always succeed. You look at any VC fund or venture capitalist and they say it's the 2 that you hit out the park that really carry the 10 odd investments. And in fact, if you look at it, failure is probably more likely in the government sector, because government agencies often invest in the areas of highest uncertainty, perhaps private capital reluctant to enter, so they try and play that catalytic role. And I suppose if failure is an unavoidable part of the innovation game, and if government's crucial here, society must be a little bit more tolerant of government failure. Yet we tend to decry government failure, and we are silent when it succeeds. How do we change this?
No, I think that governments are willing to lose money and take the high risk stuff, and they can mitigate many of those risks, because in South Africa we have a private sector that is willing to partner with governments. Originally, the SME fund was meant to be a 50-50 partnership between government and the private sector, and it's a real pity that that didn't materialize. But maybe in the next iteration we could do that. And I think that, you know, government willing to lose some of its money. And as you say, you know, we're going to get a 10 to 15% success rate. And typically those things cover the cost of capital. You might not make a huge return, but at least you would have given a huge impact to the innovation system in the country.
Just talk to me about the mechanics and how it's working with the TIA, the Technology Innovation Agency. To be perfectly frank, Keto doesn't come with a great deal of market confidence looking at its past. How are you looking to co-invest with the TIA in particular?
Listen, I think the TIA has done better than most people think. They have provided significant seed funding over the years to many, many startups that have grown up to be successful businesses. I don't think they've sold their track record adequately. Notwithstanding that, clearly there are problems about the speed at which they move and a whole bunch of other things. But, you know, there are strengths and weaknesses. And we felt that they would be a fantastic partner in the areas of science and biotech and the university fund, because they know a lot more about that space than we do. And hopefully by partnering with us and leveraging our money, they can persuade government that their ability to create a public-private partnership makes them a better recipient of some of the money government wants to put into the innovation space.
Kit, so last question, as I'm running out of time here and I have to let you go as well. It's 2019. Where do you see the country in 2029? There's obviously a lot of hope. There's also a lot of hand-wringing at the slow pace of some of the economic reforms that we'd like to see to unlock and unleash a wave of investment that we so desperately need in this country. You're obviously working at the coalface trying to stimulate that. We're 1 year out in 2029 from the goals of the National Development Plan and that date of 2030. Where do you see South Africa?
I think like any scenario planner will tell you that there's probably a low road, a middle road, and a high road. And the thing that's going to distinguish between which road we end up taking is whether government can make the right data-backed and evidence-based policy decisions about what's best for South Africa. If we can stop the talking and start the doing. And for me, one of the most crucial things is getting the right people into the right job to be able to deliver. Because our key challenge at the moment is not policy or ideas, its execution. So if we do all of those things right, in 2029 we would have doubled the size of our GDP. If we don't do those things right, we're going to have an incremental growth rate of around 2 to 2.5% in our GDP growth over the next 10 years. Those are the options that are available to us, and we need to make the right choices.
That was the CEO of the SASME Fund, Kitso Gordon, talking innovation and how we catalyze the ecosystem here on Classic Business.
Classic Business. Retirement.